I think all these speakers are a really hard act to follow, so fingers crossed I work. As James said, my name's Ruth Morrell. I'm senior manager for the iClinic Support Services with RNIB. And I'm here to talk to you today about emotional and practical support within the eye care support pathway in Scotland. I thought I would start with a little bit of background, give you the reasons why it's so important for us to have emotional and practical support built into the pathway, how that's delivered, what that looks like on the ground, how operationally it's delivered by ECLOS or others delivering emotional and practical support across Scotland. And finally, I'm just checking my notes, and finally, what does that pathway look like in practice, but also to share some case studies with you, just a couple of short case studies to really show the value, the impact it has for patients, family members and carers. So iClinic liaison service with RNIB have been delivered for almost 30 years. In Scotland, RNIB delivers ECLOS services, as do our partners with North East Sensory Services, NHS, Forth Valley and Visibility Scotland. And across Scotland, we deliver emotional and practical support from the Shetland Islands, the Highlands and Islands, down to the Scottish borders, with most recently Dumfries and Galloway having an ECLO service start last year. We know the value of providing emotional and practical support for patients at either the point of diagnosis or the point of need, both to children and adults alike. Many children come through eye clinics and parents aren't sure what that means for their child, for their future. And it's really important that adults and children are able to access this emotional and practical support. We know historically that patients who previously might have been, who were registered or are going through ophthalmology, were given a diagnosis, but onward support, the variety of services that are available, they didn't always know. That led to people losing independence, perhaps falling out of employment, carers and family members not knowing where to turn for support. Supporting patients to navigate the complex range of health and social care, which I'm sure we're all aware of in this room, is hugely important. And that's where the services that provide emotional and practical support sit within the pathway. We work closely with our health colleagues and health and social care colleagues, as well as our sector colleagues, to ensure we can best support patients. The early intervention eye care support pathway, what it does for our patients is give them the ability to make informed choices about their lives and the directions that they want to take in the future, and where best to access that support. ECLOS, or emotional early intervention support, is mainly in hospitals where ECLOS or equivalent are based in ophthalmology departments. However, we also deliver support remotely and in hybrid models. In Scotland recently, well, the past couple of years, we developed a model to support people with early intervention support in the Highlands and Islands, as I say. This was a remote model. We were aware that people travelling to peripheral clinics didn't always have the opportunity to be able to meet with an ECLO or somebody who was able to provide that early emotional and practical support. I was recently in the West Isles last year, and I was aware that the flight was late coming in, the patients had really restricted time to see the clinic appointments, and were actually really anxious about catching the plane back, because the plane back wasn't delayed and was leaving on time. There was no time for those patients to be able to access support. So what we developed was a model where they could contact our ECLOS when they were comfortable at home and not having to worry about clinical time, catching the plane, getting to the airport, weather conditions, whatever that is in those remote communities. And it's really important for emotional and practical support to be available to people regardless of where they live, whether it is urban or rural locations across Scotland. And the crux of this early intervention, emotional and practical support, really is about promoting independence for people living with sight conditions, confidence and inclusion for those people, but also for their family members and carers to be able to give them the support as well, because a sight condition doesn't just affect the individual, it will often affect those around them as well. So in practice, what does an early intervention eye care pathway look like? We support patients, as I mentioned, to navigate the complex range of health and social care. As I said, we all know in this room how complex that can be. And that's based on a patient need through a person-centred assessment. We work with services and providers across health and social care and the third sector to support patients to maintain their independence and confidence and make informed decisions about their lives. This can include, and I'm going to read a list off to you, so bear with me, emotional support. That listening ear, when someone attends an ophthalmology clinic and has been given their diagnosis or that they're going to be certified. That listening ear is so important. Sometimes it doesn't mean onward referrals. Sometimes it just means to be given the time and the space. We hear from clinicians all the time, the best will in the world, they don't have time within a clinical setting to always provide that emotional support. And that's where ECHOs or the equivalent come in. We can make referrals for people to access counselling or to signpost people to counselling, either in statutory or third sector, to access adult and children and family resources. We can make onward referrals and signposting to RNIB services and partner local and national visual and VI services as well. For example, Sight Scotland or the Macular Society, NEST, Visibility, Glaucoma Association, Guide Dogs, the list goes on. It's about the patient need. And this can be, for example, for peer support, counselling, as I mentioned, employment, benefits checks, the list is endless. We also make referral and signposting to other third sectors who are non-VI, for carer services, again, benefit checks, housing providers, the list is endless. But what the ECHO or those working in that field are is the conduit between ophthalmology and the diagnosis and into the further services as well in health and social care or the third sector. We support patients within the clinical setting as well, often acting as a conduit between the consultants, the doctors, the professionals in the clinical setting and the patients. Sometimes when patients attend appointments, they're not always taking on board what's being said or they don't understand the clinical language, and our ECHOs are able to translate that complex language. We also work with the clinical team around the CVI entitlement and processes in clinics to make sure that, you know, the referrals do come to the ECHOs and that patients understand the benefits and the choices around certification and registration. And it's really important from an early intervention point of emotional and practical support that we support patients earlier in their sight loss pathway, so to speak. The earlier we can say to people, actually, you have a diagnosis of a sight condition, but actually there's support out there. They may not be ready for that support, but if they know that it's there, that impact on them maintaining their independence and their confidence is significant. So, as I said, I've got a couple of brief case studies just to kind of bring this to life. I think it's so important for us to realise the importance of these services, that it is a conduit and it does promote our patients' independence, and the difference it can make to patients is significant. So my first case study is a male of working age. He's a single parent. He's had sudden sight loss. He doesn't understand his sight condition. He knows the term, but he doesn't know what that means and what that means for the future. He lives in a very rural community. He's been told that he's going to be certified as sight impaired. Doesn't really know what that means. Doesn't have anyone to talk to. He's got family and friends, but he doesn't want to, in his words, burden his family and friends with his worries around his sight condition. He doesn't know about reasonable adjustments at work. He's struggling at work. He doesn't want to have a conversation with his employer. And he's gone out and he's bought a giant monitor because he knows he's got a sight condition. He's struggling to access his computer, so his remedy was he was going to buy a giant monitor. Unfortunately, he can't access his giant monitor. So the ECHO discussed with the patient what their priorities were. What did he want support with first? And the support was around his sight condition and what the CVI process was. So the ECHO spoke with the consultant, and the consultant gave some further information about the sight condition, but also then identified, actually, that the gentleman's visual acuity should have been that he should have been certified severely sight-impaired. The ECHO was able to go back, discuss, reassure, and give onward information where the patient could access specific information related to his sight condition. He felt isolated. Discussion around peer support with other third sector organisations, as well as within RNIB, as well as local non-VI-related peer support. and the patient was very happy to take away that information and follow that up himself. Reasonable adjustments, he was referred for employment support so he could frame that conversation with his employer. And finally, his giant monitor, referred for tech support with a local organisation who were able to support him to adjust the settings on his computer. Something very simple and straightforward, if you know about it. And that's the power of the ECHO. So the gentleman was able to go to his employer and discuss what he needed for work and what about his vision confidently. He knew more about the registration process. He knew he was able to ask for a benefits check to make sure that he was able to access all he was entitled to. He linked him with peer support, hugely important, where he had a safe space to discuss with other people. And then he knew he could come back for further support if he wanted to at a time that was right for him. And as an opposite, we have a 90-year-old lady who lives alone and is fiercely independent and wants to remain fiercely independent. She's supported by a daughter, but enjoys shopping, cooking, and is an avid reader. She knows what her diagnosis is. She's not going to be certified yet. Her acuities are not there yet. But she's not sure what that will mean in the future. A very kind friend had dug around in a drawer and found an ancient old magnifier and lent it to her, found that wasn't making much of a difference. And her daughter bought her a fancy-dancy smartphone, which was slightly frustrated that mum wasn't using this smartphone. So after discussion with the ECHO, again, prioritising with the patient, what should we work on first? And that was the daily living skills. And our ECHO made a referral into the local sensory team who came out and did an assessment for the lady at home. So she could carry on cooking, she could do some mobility training so she could still go shopping, and had a look at the lighting in the house to see if that would improve her ability to read. We also suggested talking books, which she tried, but she said they made her fall asleep, so we left them for the time being. The wonderful old magnifier that had been found, she was referred for a low vision aids assessment, and the smartphone, again, we referred her for some tech support, so the accessibility functions could be used, and she could use that when she went out shopping. Absolutely amazed that she could use these things on her phone when she went shopping. So not only did the world for this lady open up, it had become much more narrow before she met the ECHO, and as a result, it opened up. And she was able to continue to do the stuff that we take for granted every day. And that's the crucial point, I think, isn't it? And she could teach her grandchildren about smartphones, which she was even more delighted about. So just in conclusion from me, within RNIB, we undertake a clinical evaluation questionnaire every year, which we ask our clinical colleagues, and I'm looking at Paul because he's done them for us as well, to give us feedback on what they think about our services. And I've got a couple of quotes here that really, I think, bring it home. And these two are both from clinicians. One was saying that parents of young children with a visual impairment understand better the condition and are in a significantly better position to aid that child to achieve the best potentials possible. And the other one is, in the past, I would spend a long time with certain patients with whom the consultation was difficult because I had reached the end of the road. In terms of what reached the end of the road in terms of what I could do. The clinic would grind to a halt. The ECHO is able to help in a way that I cannot, and I do not know how we managed before when we didn't have their support. And that goes for all the services who are delivering that emotional and practical support across Scotland. And finally, a couple of quotes from our patients that we've supported. Having support from other services I didn't know existed has been brilliant, and I feel so much more confident now. And that's after onward referrals. That I know that support is available to me as and when I need it. And again, that's crucial because it's about at the point of need or diagnosis and patient choice. And that I no longer feel isolated. And I've had contact from other services who have been very helpful, which the ECHO had arranged. The Macular Society have been in contact and I'm now attending some of their groups. It's all been really useful and valuable to me. So thank you very much.